Let's go to Romans, the 13th chapter, and read this. We're studying about all the presidents, and I've come to my most difficult, very most difficult one, Abraham Lincoln. Now, with this, we'll start out in Romans, the 13th chapter. Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who oppose the will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not for a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger, who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. This message, like I said, is probably the most difficult message of all the presidents. We have the myth of Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln, and we have the true Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln was our first Republican president. But I want you to understand about the Republican Party at this time was not the Republican Party today. And I will probably pause as I'm giving this lecture to look at my notes to try to keep myself on track. Abraham Lincoln today would be a radical, extreme radical socialist Democrat today. Now that's saying something, but that's truth. Abraham Lincoln was very good friends and kept letters and correspondence with Karl Marx. Now you're saying that this guy's plumb crazy. I have a political science and a history library in there. And as I was young, I grew up to absolutely adore and reverence the man Abraham Lincoln. But as I studied history, especially the Civil War, the Civil War probably didn't have to happen at all. And we're going to look at that as we go. Abraham Lincoln was born on February the 12th, 1809. He died April the 15th, 1865. He was a lawyer, actually a corporate lawyer. And he was president, the 16th president of the United States, from 1861 until his assassination in 1865. He was the most hated, despised president while he was in office in the history of America. His family were separate Baptists. His mother and father, his mother died when he was young. He had a stepmother, which he adored, and she adored him. And he did not like hard work. He did not like labor. Even though he was a wood splitter and the rail splitter and all that, he hated farm labor and he wanted to get out of it as soon as he could and ran away from home, which he did. He was born in a log cabin. He was absolutely self-educated. I think that he had gone to school maybe 9 months in his life. He was of the Whig Party. And he was an Illinois state legislator. He was a member of the U.S. House of Representatives from Illinois' 7th District, from March the 4th, 1847 to March the 3rd, 1849. He was a great follower of a big government. He believed in big government. He was did everything he could to bring government under the control of the government, not the states. We have the group between the Federalists and Nationalists in America. He always was a follower of those of that group which believed in a strong central government. Henry Clay, Harrison, greatly wanted to model American government after the government of Great Britain, even though they had left Great Britain. And they shook themselves free from Great Britain. They wanted to model America after a monopolistic government that industry was behind. He was again a member of the Illinois House of Representatives from Sagamon County, from December the 1st, 1834 to December 1842. He was buried about 19 times.
Buried?
He was buried and moved and buried and moved. His body was even stolen by some Irish thugs and that wanted to ransom the government, to get money, ransom money for the government. He had several children, Robert, Edward, Willie, Tad, and all of them died except for Robert. His wife was basically mentally ill, Mary Todd Lincoln. She was raised in a slave-owning southern type of environment. And she was very much interested in politics. She was the prettiest girl on the block, so to speak, and everybody wanted to marry her. She was even engaged one time to another man, and Abraham Lincoln just stole her heart. She wanted to be married to a president of the United States, and she believed that Abraham Lincoln was going to be a president. Now, he was a corporate lawyer with the railroad industry. He was in the service, in the Illinois militia. He was a captain and a private. He was in the Black Hawk War. Going back to his childhood again, he was the second child of Thomas Lincoln and Nancy Hanks. Born in a log cabin in Sinking Spring Farm, near Hodgenville, Kentucky. He was a descendant of Samuel Lincoln, an Englishman who migrated from Hingham, Norfolk, to its namesake, Hingham, Massachusetts, in 1638. The family then migrated west, passing New Jersey and Pennsylvania and Virginia. And by the way, there's more legend about Lincoln than there is fact by a long shot. But Lincoln's idea that his father, when he could see the smoke from the chimney of his neighbor, he was moving on someplace else. That was too close. Lincoln's paternal grandparents, Captain Abraham Lincoln and wife Bathsheba Herring, moved the family from Virginia to Jefferson County, Kentucky. The captain was killed in the Indian raid in 1786.
Lincoln looked upon Indians as savages and looked toward what we call manifest destiny. The children of his grandfather, including 8-year-old Thomas, Abraham's father, witnessed the attack. Thomas worked at odd jobs in Kentucky and Tennessee before the family moved and settled in Hardin County, Kentucky in the early 1800s. His mother and father were very religious. Abraham Lincoln's mother and father were very religious. They were separate Baptists. I have to tell you a little bit about separate Baptists. When George Whitefield came to America, he began preaching, and he preached to thousands of people at once. And he would preach a hellfire and damnation sermon, and the audience and the preacher were very emotionally excited. There were groups of Baptists in America, and some accepted Whitefield's preaching, which were called the separate Baptists, and some did not, which were called the regular Baptists. Now, as Whitefield went and he preached revivals in different parts, he would establish churches there. He was a congregational preacher, and they were baptized people, and they established a Baptist church, and they were called separate Baptist churches. Now, Abraham Lincoln's mother and father both were separate Baptists. It meant that they had a conversion. The separate Baptists said of the regular Baptists and the Presbyterians and the Anglicans and such forth that many of the ministers were not even converted. And that they needed to have a heartfelt, born-again experience with God, which that's what Baptists preach today. But Abraham Lincoln's father and mother believed that. Now, Abraham Lincoln read everything that he could find and lay his hands upon them. Laying in front of the fireplace, reading by firelight. And so he had a very religious background, but he was not religious. Abraham Lincoln's law partners, his wife, and all of his acquaintances says that he was basically an atheist or agnostic, but he read the Bible and he used the Bible in many of his speeches, because his audience were religious. Now, I've been accused of many, many things in what I'm preaching and teaching about history and political science sometimes. People have called me a left-wing radical Democrat, socialist, whatever. And others call me a radical right-wing. But maybe they heard a message where I told the truth about something and they didn't like it. And this may be one of them right here. Because the real man Abraham Lincoln and the legend Abraham Lincoln are not the same people. Now, Thomas and Nancy married in June 12, 1806 in Washington County and moved to Elizabeth County, Kentucky, and they had three children, Sarah, Abraham, and Thomas. Thomas died as an infant. Thomas Lincoln bought and leased farms in Kentucky before losing all but 200 acres of his land and of course, disputes over property titles. In 1860, he finally moved to Indiana, where the land surveys and titles were more reliable. Indiana was free, non-slaving territory. It was a free, non-slaving territory, Indiana was. They settled in an unbroken forest in the Hurricane Township of Perry County, Indiana. In 1860, Lincoln noted that the family's move to Indiana was partly on account of slavery, but mainly due to the land title difficulties. Thomas worked as a farmer, a cabinet maker, and a carpenter. Sometimes in his life, he owned farms, livestock, town lots, paid taxes, sat on juries, appraised estates, served in county patrols. Thomas and Nancy were members of the separate Baptist churches, which forbade alcohol, dancing, and slavery. Now, Abraham Lincoln did not agree with his mother and father's religion, but he was quiet about it. He read his Bible because it was useful, because all of society was based upon the Bible. Thomas, in 1827, obtained clear title to 80 acres in Indiana, an area which became the Little Pigeon Creek community. On October the 5th, 1818, Nancy Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln's mother, died of milk sickness, leaving 11-year-old Sarah in charge of the household, including her father, and 9-year-old Abraham and Nancy's 19-year-old orphan cousin, Dennis Hanks. 10 years later, on January 20, 1828, Sarah died while giving birth to a stillborn son, which devastated Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln had a tremendous problem with acute depression in his life. At times, his people, his friends, didn't know whether he was going to live through it or not. On December the 2nd, 1819, Thomas Lincoln married Sarah Bush Johnson, a widow from Elizabethtown, Kentucky, with 3 children of her own. Abraham and his stepmother cherished each other. Abraham did not like hard work and hard labor. His family called him lazy because he was always reading and scribbling and writing and ciphering and writing poetry. His stepmother said he didn't enjoy physical labor, but loved to read. Abraham Lincoln liked to wrestle, and he was in many wrestling contests because he was very strong. He was 6'4", a big man, much larger than the people around him. Many of them were only 5'5", 5'10", 5'8", but he was 6'4". Lincoln got his formal schooling and education from itinerant teachers. 2 short stints in Kentucky where he learned to read but probably not to write at age 7. In Indiana, he went to school sporadically due to farm chores for a total of less than 12 months, and by the age of 15, he had less than 12 months of schooling. He was an avid reader, had a lifelong interest in learning. His family, neighbors, and schoolmates recalled that his reading included the King James Bible, Aesop's Fables, John Bunyan's Pilgrim Progress, Daniel Defoe's Robinson Crusoe, and autobiography of Benjamin Franklin. As a teenager, Abraham took responsibility for his chores and gave his father all of his earnings from work outside of the home until he was 21 years old. He was tall, strong, and athletic. He became a wrestling champion at the age of 21. He gained a reputation for strength and became a renowned leader of ruffians known as the Clary's Grove Boys. In 1830, fearing another milk outbreak sickness, they moved west to Illinois, a free state. Free state means no slave, no slavery. He settled in Macon County, and Abraham then became increasingly distant from Thomas, in part due to his father's lack of education, they say. But his father was making him work. He wanted to get out from underneath that burden of hard labor. Thomas and the other family members decided to move to a new homestead in Coles County, Illinois. Abraham struck out on his own. Gone. He made his home in Salem, Illinois for 6 years. He worked on flatboats and around New Orleans, Louisiana, up and down the river. One time he was asked how did he get his rhetorical skills. He said he came across the word demonstrate, but had some insufficient understanding of the term. So he left Springfield for his father's home to study until he could give him a proposition in 6 books of Euclid's. Take elements. That's quoted quite a little bit. Abraham Lincoln fell in love with a girl by the name of Ann Rutledge. Now, she was engaged to another guy. By 1835, they were in a relationship, but not formally engaged. She died on August 25th, 1835, probably from typhoid fever. In the early 1830s, he married another woman, Mary Owens, from Kentucky. In 1836, Lincoln agreed to marry her if she returned to New Salem. He courted her for a while, but they both had second thoughts and they broke up. In 1837, he wrote her a letter saying he would not blame her if she ended the relationship, and she never replied to it. The one woman that he mourned over and over was Rutledge. He almost died of depression. In 1839, Lincoln married Mary Todd in Springfield, Illinois. The following year, they became engaged. She was the daughter of Robert Smith Todd, a wealthy lawyer and businessman in Lexington, Kentucky. They had a wedding set for January 1st, 1841. But Lincoln canceled it. He went on a deep bout of depression again and basically hid out. They finally reconciled and married on November 4th, 1842. In the Springfield mansion of Mary's father, or Mary's sister, that is. He was preparing for his wedding, and one of his friends replied, "Where are you going?" He said, "To hell, I suppose." In 1844, the couple bought a house in Springfield near his law office, and Mary kept house with the help of hired servants and relatives. Mary Todd Lincoln was a very educated, very well-educated woman in her time. She had a handle on politics, and she was basically the little genie of a party wherever she went. She was pretty, she was small and cute, and she was educated, and she could hold a conversation with educated men and politicians. Abraham was the father of 4 sons. Robert Todd Lincoln, 1843, was the only child to live to maturity. Edward Baker Lincoln, 1846, died February the 1st, 1850, from tuberculosis. Lincoln's third son, Willie Lincoln, was born December 1st, 1850, and died of a fever at the White House on February 20th, 1862. The youngest son, Thomas Tad Lincoln, was born April 4th, 1853, and survived his father, but died of heart failure at the age of 18, July the 16th, 1871. He loved his children. Abraham Lincoln loved his children and spoiled them, and they ran wild in the White House. Now the deaths of their sons greatly affected Mary Todd Lincoln. She basically went into deep depression and insanity. Now he had won, he was in the White House. All right. And they were having seances in the White House. Now remember that Abraham Lincoln is not religious, but he is somewhat superstitious and he believes in spirits and so on. And Mary Todd Lincoln was always having seances trying to communicate with her dead children. She had a black seamstress that worked that lived in the house with her, and she greatly consoled in her. Abraham Lincoln was a postmaster, a county surveyor, always continuously reading. While he was in the House of Representatives, he always said one thing, that he believed that slavery ought to be contained into the slave states and never allowed to spread in any new territory. And remember, we had the war with Mexico and America. The United States of America gained California, Arizona, Nevada, Utah, New Mexico, etc. He did not believe it ought to go into these areas, but he believed in slavery. He believed that the black people were inferior to whites. He had campaigns with Douglas, and his Douglas campaigns, the Lincoln-Douglas campaigns, made him famous. Abraham Lincoln was called Spotty Lincoln because he would change. He would go from one statement to the other. And sometimes he would regret something that he said. And he would bounce back and forth. He had pledged in 1846 to serve only one term in the House representing, realizing Clay was unlikely to win the presidency. He supported General Zachary Taylor. Now, he believed in Henry Clay. Henry Clay believed in big government. Abraham Lincoln believed in big government. Now, today, we have the Democrats and we have the Republicans only. The Democrats today believe in big government, don't they? And the Republicans believe in limited government. So, what was the Republican Party when Abraham Lincoln was the first president of the Republican Party? It is not the Republican Party of today. Now, the Democratic Party, the most conservative of America, the most conservative party in America was the Southern Democrats. Abraham Lincoln worked in politics all his life, but the main thing, he made a lot of money. Abraham Lincoln made a ton of money. By the way, his wife could spend a ton of money. Because of depression, she would go on spending sprees. All of his life, she would. Now, he patented a flotation device for the movement of boats in shallow water, by the way. He was one of the only presidents to have a patent. Lincoln appeared before the Illinois Supreme Court for 175 cases, and he was the sole counsel of 51 cases, of which 31 were decided in his favor. His largest clients were the Illinois Central Railroad, which he was an early lobbyist for in Washington. he got the name of Honest Abe because he was supposedly walked 6 miles one way and took 1 or 2 cents to a customer that overpaid him when he was keeping the store. Lincoln argued in 1858 criminal trial defending William Duff Armstrong, who was on trial for the murder of James Preston Metzger. Lincoln could twist the laws unbelievably to favor his clients and himself. He could twist laws. He could bend them. And he would bend and twist laws. Lincoln's use of the fact established by judicial notice to challenge the credibility of eyewitnesses. Now, to challenge the credibility of eyewitnesses? The Bible says by 2 or 3 eyewitnesses let everything be established. But Abraham Lincoln challenged the credibility of eyewitnesses. After the witnesses declared that they had seen the crime take place in moonlight, Lincoln produced a farmer's almanac showing the moon was at a low angle, drastically reducing visibility, and Armstrong was acquitted with eyewitnesses to the crime. In 1859, he elevated his profile as a lawyer in a murder case with his defense of Samuel Quinn Peachy Harrison, who was his third cousin. He was also the grandson of Lincoln's political opponent, Peter Cartwright. Harrison was charged with the murder of Creek Crafton, who was, as he lay dying of his wounds, confessed to Cartwright that he had provoked Harrison. Lincoln angrily protested the judge's initial decision to exclude Cartwright's testimony about the confession in inadmissible hearsay, which it is. Lincoln argued that the testimony involved the dying declaration and was not subject to hearsay rule. Instead of holding Lincoln in contempt of court, as expected, the judge, a Democrat, reversed his ruling and admitted the testimony into evidence, resulting in Harrison's acquittal. Lincoln emerged as a Republican leader. Remember, the Republicans were Democrats then, and the Democrats were Republicans. Okay?
What was the Whig Party?
The Whig Party was a party of big government.
Okay.
And the Whigs dissolved and became the Republican Party. Now, the Republican Party, the party of big government now, but it was going to get much bigger. Henry Clay and all of Alexander Hamilton, all of these people believed in big government. They wanted to make America and model it after Great Britain's or the United Kingdom's judicial. They even when George Washington was elected, they wanted to be elected for life. Like a king, he refused that. He only ran for 2 terms and only was termed president 2 times. The Republican Party, there was radical Republicans that believed in equal rights for all blacks, and they were the ones that were literally kidnapping the blacks away from their owners and taking them up in the north. And then we have the return of the slaves, the Fugitive Slave Act, which Lincoln was for. Lincoln was not a radical Republican. He was a moderate Republican. The radical Republicans were the radical Democrats of today. In 1852, Abraham Lincoln gave a eulogy for Henry Clay. He highlighted the support of the gradual emancipation and opposition of both extremes on the slavery issue. Great Britain in 6 years had completely done away with slavery. Great Britain had done away in slavery in 6 years. All of the slaves that were slaves at that time had to be released except the American Indian slaves. Pay attention to that. The Civil War was not over slavery, it was over states' rights, but it became Abraham Lincoln had to have a reason for the war where 750,000 people were dying. So he brought in the Order of Emancipation Proclamation, which didn't free anybody at all. But then he went into the 14th Amendment, which did. But he had to have a reason for what all he was doing. The slavery debate between the Nebraska-Kansas Act Stephen A. Douglas proposed popular sovereignty as a compromise. The measure would allow the electorate of each territory to decide the status of slavery in that territory. Which alarmed the radical Republicans, who sought the prevention of resulting in the spread of slavery under any cost. They would divide the nation, they would have a war, they would do anything to slop service. This is radical Republicans now, this is not Abraham Lincoln. The Kansas and Nebraska Act narrowly passed Congress in May of 1854. Abraham Lincoln said about the spread of slavery, "I cannot but hate it. I hate it because of the monstrous injustice of slavery itself. I hate it because it deprives our Republican example of just influence in the world." Lincoln's attacks on the Kansas and Nebraska Act marked his return to political life. The Whigs were irreparably split over the Kansas and Nebraska Act. And the compromise on the slavery issue. Abraham Lincoln realized the demise of the Whig Party. He said, "I think I am a Whig, but others say they are no Whigs, and that I am an abolitionist. I do more than oppose the extension of slavery." The new Republican Party was formed on a northern party dedicated to anti-slavery. The new Republican Party was dedicated to anti-slavery, but not Abraham Lincoln. The new Republican Party was led majorly by radical Republicans, which believed in the abolition of slavery. The South was an agricultural area. The North was an industrial. What started the Civil War was not slavery. But it was tariffs and taxes. We had the Dred Scott decision. A slave had run away from his master and said that he was living in a free state. And the Dred Scott versus Sanford, decided that Dred Scott was a property of Sanford. Now, Abraham Lincoln borrowed a lot of other people's speeches. He was a heavy reader. And a lot of things that he said were not really his original words, but other people's original words. Abraham Lincoln made his fame debating with Stephen A. Douglas. Now, he quoted Mark 3:25. Now, he didn't believe in the Bible, but he used the Bible. And he said in his house divided speech, a house divided against itself cannot stand. I believe that the government cannot endure permanently, half slave and half free. I do not expect the union to be dissolved. I do not expect the union to be dissolved. I do not expect the house to fall, but I do expect it to cease to be divided. It will become all one thing or all the other. And speech created a stark image and of danger and dissolution of the Union. He made about 50 speeches traveling against Stephen A. Douglas. And those speeches scared the southern states to death. Now, when he became president, he made a speech. And that speech basically declared war on the South. It was a declaration of war. I want to read it to you, part of it. This is his inaugural speech. Now, when Abraham Lincoln became president, the South began to secede from the Union. Abraham Lincoln stood opposed to Thomas Jefferson and George Washington's idea of a voluntary union. And all of the first founding fathers, except Alexander Hamilton and Henry Clay, believed that the union was a voluntary union. And that if some of the states in the Union made it impossible for other states in the Union to remain part of the Union, they believed that they could secede from the Union. And Abraham Lincoln, now this is his inaugural address. If the United States be not a government proper, but an association of states in the nature of contract merely, can it be as a contract be peaceably unmade by less than all the parties who made it? What Abraham Lincoln was saying is that the Union had become a sacred, eternal union. The United States of America, which the word states is plural in it. The United States, when they agreed to the Constitution of the United States, believed that they were voluntarily committing to this. The abolitionists were breaking up the Union. Robert E. Lee arrested John Brown and they hung him. Robert E. Lee believed that the Union was a voluntary confederation of states. And so did Europe. Most of Europe were not behind the Union. They were behind the Confederacy. If the United States be not a government proper, but an association of states in the nature of contract merely, can it be a contract be peaceably unmade by less than all the parties who made it? One party to a contract may violate it, break it, so to speak, but it does not require all to lawfully rescind it. This very speech declared war on the South. Listen further. The South believed it was a voluntary union, and they could see George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, all of these others believed that this was a voluntary union, that it was not eternal, and it was not sacred unity. The states joined the Union as a body to deal with the world around them. Now, Abraham Lincoln would make the United States become a world power. He had the largest army in the world at that time. Descending from the general principles, we find proposition that in legal contemplation and union is perpetually confirmed by the history of the union itself. Now, the words that he's going to use here are not true. This is not the way things happen. But he's going to tell you that this is the way things happen, and he's going to tell you enough times until you finally believe it. The union is much older than the Constitution. It was formed, in fact, by the Articles of Association in 1774. It was matured and continued by the Declaration of Independence in 1776. It was further matured, and the faith of all then the 13 states expressly plighted and engaged that it should be perpetual. That is not true. By the Articles of Confederation in 1778, and finally in 1787, one of the declared objects for ordaining and establishing the Constitution was to form a more perfect union. It's a union, people, a voluntary union. Now, many states in the Middle East, or not in the Middle East, but in Eastern Europe, were all part of the Russian Empire at one time, weren't they? Now, the United States condemns Russia for doing exactly what Abraham Lincoln did. Remember, Abraham Lincoln was in constant correspondence with Karl Marx. But if the destruction of the Union by one or part only of the states be lawfully possible, the Union is less perfect than before the Constitution, having lost the vital element of the perpetuity. The southern states didn't believe this, because they believed in the Constitution, as it was, with George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, etc., etc., etc. It follows that from these views that no state, upon its own mere motion, can lawfully get out of the Union. Now, this is declaration of war, right here. This is it. This is the declaration of war. That resolves an ordinance that effect are legally void, and that the acts of violence within any state or states against the authority of the United States are insurrection and revolutionary according to circumstances. I therefore consider that in the view of the Constitution and by the laws of the Union is unbroken. Now, this isn't true. The Constitution didn't support what he said. He will interpret the Constitution. Remember, he's a corporate lawyer. Remember, he's used to twisting facts and making them sound real good, but they're not. And to the extent of my ability, I shall take care, as the Constitution itself expressly enjoins me upon me, and it did not, that the laws of the Union be faithfully executed in all states. Doing this, I deem it only a simple duty on my part, and I shall perform it as practical unless my rightful masters, the American people, shall withdraw the requisite means in some authoritative matter and direct the contrary. I trust it will not be regarded as a menace, but only as the declared purpose of the Union, that it will constitutionally defend and maintain itself. Now, what did Abraham Lincoln do when he became president? What did he do?
He twisted
them. Exactly the same thing that Lenin and Stalin did.
Mm-hmm.
And Hitler. Exactly. America had a dictator. And the people in Abraham Lincoln's life looked upon Lincoln as a dictator. He surpassed and set aside the whole Constitution. Completely. He told preachers what they could preach in pulpits. He told them, don't you dare. He shut down northern newspapers. Hundreds of editors were put in prison. Anyone that would get up and publicly speak against his views was put in prison or fined. History repeats itself over and over and over again, and we're right to the point again today where we have another Abraham Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
We're right again at an American revolution, a change of views. Abraham Lincoln looked at the Union as the sacred union, the sacred union. It became a deity. The South, now, I've studied for this message for years. As I taught church history, I always said that the American Civil War was not over slavery. It was over states' rights. It was over the difference between big government and limited government. And today, the Republicans believe in limited government, and the Democrats believe in big government and extended government and even into socialism, which Abraham Lincoln brought us into. The South believed that they were separate. Every separate state was an autonomous state. All of the Union property in what I call the forts, everything, the South offered to pay the Union for the property that they were that was in within those southern states. Mm-hmm. Abraham Lincoln refused. He refused. Because of his speech, because they knew exactly what Abraham Lincoln believed, by the time he became office, several states had already seceded from the Union. Mm-hmm. Because they saw that their whole lives would be changed. The South believed in free trade. You heard of that term before, free trade?
Mm-hmm.
The South believed in free trade. The North believed in government subsidies for their industry, including the railroads and the big factories and steel and coal. They believed in government subsidies and what we call today corporate welfare. Abraham Lincoln was 100% for corporate welfare. But for all of this to work, the South wanted free trade. The North wanted great tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
Tariffs. The tariffs that the North wanted would destroy the southern states completely. It would completely destroy their economy. The Union decided to block the harbors where the South was trading with Great Britain and France, etc., etc., etc. Abraham Lincoln cut that free trade off. He wanted to tax them. He ended up taxing them 50% tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
After he broke them down completely and destroyed the South. The North completely broke all the rules of war. There wasn't a Geneva Convention yet, but it had begun. By the way, Switzerland and America were two autonomous economies that were a voluntary union of states. Today, only Switzerland survived. The rules of war were that you were not, in war, you were not to involve civilians, non-combatants. There's a movie, Shenandoah, with James Stewart and some of John Wayne's children were in that movie also. And it talks about the Union Army coming in and wiping out the South, burning every town down, burning every farm, killing all of their animals, burning up all of their food stuff. That's against the Geneva Convention today, and it was against it back then. The South were whipping the socks off the North because they had the greatest general of all time, the superintendent of West Point, Robert E. Lee. Robert E. Lee walked the floors day and night when Abraham Lincoln was dividing the Union. Abraham Lincoln divided the Union people. He declared war on the South. He declared war on the economy of the South. He declared big government with Alexander Hamilton and Henry Clay. That's what they wanted. He wanted to have a Great Britain without Great Britain. He wanted a great industry to run the nation. And guess what happened? The big industries after Lincoln ran the nation. Until Teddy Roosevelt came along. Big government with corporate welfare ran the United States government until Teddy Roosevelt came. Abraham Lincoln believed in one thing. He believed that if he freed the slave, any slave ought to be deported. That all slaves ought to be deported. And this had started actually in James Monroe's time when they, in Liberia, they had a place called Monrovia. The slaves were always slaves, and they're slaves in Africa today. They're slaves in the Islamic Empire today. Slavery is in existence and alive and well in the world. And in Africa, slavery still exists. The slaves did not want to go back to Africa because they had it a whole lot better here than they did in Africa. They were going to put colonies in South America, put them in their own environment. Abraham Lincoln believed in free white labor. I want you to understand this. Abraham Lincoln believed in free white labor. Now, in America, not even all white men could vote, could they? But he believed that if they freed the slaves and deported them, that the slave owners would have to hire white labor. We have problems with what today? Illegal aliens coming into America and taking the labor from the American people. We don't need any immigration in this country. We can barely feed and support the ones that we have here. Maybe this is radical for today. I do not know. But these are facts. The South offered to pay for all of the property that the North had in the South. The forts, etc., etc., etc. Abraham Lincoln accused all of those that disbelieved what he said. I can name many, many editors, many newspapers that he shut down. Many ministers that he locked the doors on the churches if they spoke against him. And by the way, the North was not for Lincoln, nor for the war. It was the Radical Republican Party that was for the war and for emancipation and for bringing slavery to an end. There was a man by the name of Spooner. And this man wrote an article, how the United States could free all of the slaves, emancipate all the slaves without ever having a war or stepping on states' rights. In England, they taxed the people. Okay? And in England, all the slave owners, the government bought and paid for the slaves to be set free. How many billions of dollars did the Civil War in America cost? And how many lives? 750,000 lives were lost. That's not talking about crippled people. Not talking about crippled people. Abraham Lincoln declared anybody that disagreed him that they were guilty of domestic violence. He suspended habeas corpus. In other words, you could be arrested and not charged with anything and held in jail indefinitely. Does this sound like Stalin and Lenin? Does this sound like Cuba? He made the union into a god, a deity. The union was a voluntary union until Lincoln. He broke the rules of war in every way. He couldn't whip Robert E. Lee. He couldn't do it. George McClellan, the McClellan saddles, all of that. And McClellan was a great trainer of soldiers, but he was a terrible general. He would go into an area and they would try to win the battle. By the way, one battle after another with inferior forces, Robert E. Lee whipped the socks off of these men. Finally, Sherman. You know who General Sherman? And who was the other one that became president? Finally, Abraham Lincoln got two great generals. Mary Todd Lincoln called them butchers. Butchers. When Abraham Lincoln would make a speech, he would sound like he was this flowery for accepting the South and all of this. But the South kept making, sending envoys to end the war, to end the war, to end the war. In Congress and in the Senate, they kept saying, do you have any people from the South trying to deal with it? Jefferson Davis, is he sending envoys to us? And of course, he said, no, no, no. Yes, they were. He's lying. He believed he was establishing a Hamiltonian empire and a Henry Clay empire. Corporate welfare and a corporate, big business-run society. Just study history, people. That's exactly what happened. He hired criminal soldiers from Germany. People that come in here in 1849 and all of that. He had hired them. He put them leaders of armies because they had no conscience. They had fought over there in this revolutions. Slaughtering, found raping, pillaging, stealing. The movie Shenandoah is a fact. When Sherman went through the South, it said Georgia howled from the misery and the murder. He burned down every city. He burned down every farm. He either killed or slaughtered all of their animals, burned their fields, against the rules of war. Jesse James, the Cole Youngers, and the Daltons were members of a unit in the Civil War. And after the Civil War, they were declared enemies of America. They were to be hung or shot on sight. And they became outlaws. The big business and the big banks and the railroads took over America, the carpetbaggers in the South. It was the South was devastated with murder, rape, and pillage. The war was not over slavery. But Abraham Lincoln had to have an excuse for what all he did. So all of a sudden, he signs the Declaration. He says that this is only a war meaning. It doesn't mean anything, but it's only an action in this war. And that was the Emancipation Proclamation. They had Indian slaves. They had Indian slaves in California, Nevada, Arizona, after the Civil War. They were selling Indian slaves at market in Los Angeles as late as 1869. Yet slavery didn't end with the Civil War. Because slavery was in the South with the great corporate unions, which shanghaied people and families, and children were working from 4 and 5, 6 years old in factories and being killed. Abraham Lincoln agreed to Sherman, kill everything and everyone, and all the livestock and even the dogs.
Oh.
In the South. Kill everyone, burn everything, kill all the livestock and even the dogs. Mm-hmm. And the excuse for the dogs that they might train the dogs to go after the Northern soldiers. America had already started the Indian concentration camps called reservations. But they set aside the Indian problem until they got through killing 750,000 of the white people in America. Emancipation Proclamation freed no one. It was only a political measure, that's all. I could go into that. States were abolishing slavery before the Civil War. States were voluntarily abolishing slavery. And Spooner wrote this article on how America could go from the slave owners without hurting the slave owners, without hurting the slave owners' economy. The Union could buy the slaves. And then they wanted to deport them so free white labor could exist. Free white labor. In the North, there wasn't any free white labor. Once you became a slave to the company store, as in Tennessee Ernie Ford used to say, the coal mine story. Spooner set these rules for peaceful emancipation. Lincoln would have none of it. The reason why we went to war is because the southern states were supporting the whole Union with their tariffs. The North wanted high tariffs, which would break the South, but the South, it's like today. The middle class America is supporting America. We got the top feeders and we got the bottom feeders. And now, instead of the Steel men, Rockefeller, Carnegie's, J.P. Morgan's, we got Twitter, Facebook, and all of that running the show. Former President Trump just brought lawsuits against those people. Because we don't have freedom of speech, the First Amendment, we don't have freedom of speech when some entity can take you down off of the world's views. That's exactly what Lincoln did in Lincoln's day. When he shut up every preacher that spoke against him, when he shut up every newspaper man, closed the newspapers, take them out, shot a lot of them, as enemies of the state. The European United Kingdom has shown us a way to walk away from slavery without war. Nearly every nation in the world, when they completely did away with slavery, they did it without a war. The United States Civil War, the Union against the South, was over taxes. Abraham Lincoln was not going to lose the taxes from that South. He would not allow them to secede from the Union because he wanted that money, because the United States, the Union, was living off of that money. Massive immigration is exactly what happened after the Civil War. Massive immigration is what happened after the Civil War and before the Civil War. Massive immigration today is destroying America. Big business likes immigration. You know why? Because they can get somebody else. They got slaves. They got cheaper labor coming in. Cheap labor coming in. And so the American people's wages are kept down. If it wasn't for the unions, you would be getting a dollar an hour still today. And I'm not for everything about the unions, but the unions were very important in early American history, especially with Teddy Roosevelt's time when he backed the unions. By the way, the unions is what got Biden in office and the mafia. They backed him, and I could tell you the story about that. He's always been a crooked little fellow. All the time. He got in through Francis Furan and Jimmy Hoffa. That's exactly how he got elected. He would not have got elected you've run against a man named Boggs, an honest, solid man. And they shut the newspapers down and struck the newspapers so they couldn't deliver the papers out telling what a rat Biden was. He wouldn't have been elected. Even some of the railroad cars were blown up. Slave labor versus free labor doesn't work, does it? And the North didn't deliver their people from slave labor until Teddy Roosevelt came along. A real statesman would have had Emancipation Proclamation without war. And Abraham Lincoln was capable of being a real statesman, but he chose not to. Great dictators have executive orders. Does that sound familiar? Great dictators have lots of executive orders and a lot of denouncing propaganda. The Union God. Everybody was considered a traitor that spoke against what Lincoln was doing. He shut down over 300 newspapers. In the North, not the South. This is in the North. He took away all of the firearms of the people in the North that weren't for him. The only ones that could have firearms were those that were for him. All opposing parties, the firearms were confiscated. Does that sound familiar? Hamilton, Hamiltonian ideas, Clayism, and Lincoln philosophy. Hamiltonian economics. The American system. The American system is what Clay said and Alexander Hamilton. Corporate welfare. Now, I do believe in infrastructure in a country, and one thing that the Southern Democrats was for was very little infrastructure. The only thing they wanted to do was dredge the harbors and things to keep things going. But they didn't believe in building roads and railroads and all that stuff. I mean, well, to some extent, they did. Jefferson Davis wanted a coast-to-coast railroad, all right. But he wanted to go through the southern states because they had a lot of products to sell. Lincoln, now remember that Jefferson Davis was Secretary of War. Jefferson Davis and General Beale down there in the Bakersfield area, in Lebec especially, at Fort Cajon, they had brought camels from overseas and they were going to have camels run Pony Expresses because they could crawl across the desert better than the horses could. Mm-hmm. They were going to build a transcontinental railroad. But Jefferson Davis said the South, the Southern route would be better, which it would be. And they wouldn't have to go through all the mountains that the Northern route would. Judges were kidnapped that were making orders against when Abraham Lincoln was causing a group of people or a party of people or a whole church full of people to be arrested, and the judges were setting them free. He arrested the judges. Kidnapped the judges. He wanted to turn all the states into colonies under the control of the master government, which he did. Karl Marx and Horace Greeley were really good friends with Abraham Lincoln. You remember, go west, young man, go west, Horace Greeley and all of that. America went from a democratic republic to a totalitarian empire. Lord Acton in Great Britain, I'll go there, I've got a little excerpt here. Lord Acton said, I saw in the states' rights the only availing check upon the absolutism of the sovereign will. And cessation filled me with hope, not as the destruction, but as the redemption of democracy in the American colony. The institutions of your republic have not exercised on the old world the salutary and liberating influence which ought to have belonged to them by reason of those defects and abuses of principle which the Confederate Constitution was expressly and wisely calculated to remedy. I believe that the example of the great reform would have blessed all races of mankind. By establishing a true freedom, purged of the native dangers and disorders of republics. Therefore, I deem that you were fighting the battles of our liberty for our liberty and our progress and our civilization, and I mourn for the sake which was lost at Richmond more deeply than I rejoice over that which was saved at Waterloo. Lord Acton was a great admirer of the original American Constitution and believed that the Confederate Constitution of 1861 was actually an improvement over it. I could read all of that to you. Robert E. Lee. Now, that letter was written to Robert E. Lee, by the way. He was a great admirer of the original American Constitution. Was in defense of free trade, which Great Britain kept going, carrying on with the South, by the way. He didn't believe in the protectionist tariffs and corporate welfare. General Lee wrote, I believe that the maintenance of the rights and authority reserved to the states and to the people in the Tenth Amendment not only are essential to the adjustment and balance of a general system, but the safeguard to the continuance of a free government. I consider it as chief source of stability in our political system. Whereas the consolidation of the states into one vast republic, sure to be aggressive abroad and a despot at home, will be the certain precursor of that ruin which has overwhelmed all those who have preceded it. Thomas Jefferson believed in states' rights and believed in the three parts of a government. The Senate is supposed to be by those that are the seniors. The representatives are the House of Representatives is supposed to be for those representing the people. And the judicial branch was not supposed to be make decisions on its own, as it later did. Now the Supreme Court is the ultimate, what we might call the last word on everything. It was not supposed to be that way. After Lincoln was assassinated, he became a martyr, and America began to write stories about him. Many of the people celebrated his death. Stevenson had his body taken all across through the states on railroad by railroad, the railroads that he represented, him, and made a great big funeral for the death of Abraham Lincoln. Many of the people in the North hated him. The people in the South were afraid of him because they knew what he was going to do to them. And when they sent those two generals down there to absolutely devoid the South of property and the destruction and the fires and the death. And then, did you know, after the Civil War, that most of the Southern people, white males, could not vote, nor could they ever hold an office. The Union officers were given attention. But if the South was kept in the Union, why didn't the Southern soldiers have a pension also, since they didn't have legs, didn't have arms, etc.?
Yeah.
All of their property were confiscated. Jesse James went about from one Baptist church to the other, living and robbing railroads and robbing banks because they robbed them. And they went and took into communities through churches, through Baptist churches, and paid off farms that the carpetbaggers had tried to confiscate. That's the real Robin Hoods.
Yeah.
And I told you the story about Benjamin Marcus Beauregard, that famous Baptist preacher that slept in the bed with Jesse James and wanted to grow up and be like Jesse James, the Robin Hood. And his father took him to a hanging, and after the hanging, he decided he was going to be a preacher. America's history is very, very colored. Some of the things we think are true, and some of the things we think are true are not. And some of the things that have been looked at as dark were not really dark. The South were really the defenders of states' rights and of the freedom and liberty in the United States, not the North. There was no liberty. There was no freedom in the North. It was all a absolute monarchy, totalitarian rule at that time. Under a dictator. He was called Dictator Lincoln. How did the North take care of all those blacks when they set them all free if they didn't send them away? I'll just tell you this. When the war between the states was over, they sicked Sherman on the American Indians, and he said the only good Indian was a dead one. And he went about killing Indians like he did Southern soldiers and Southern towns and Southern civilians. Then they took the Indians and put them on Indian land, reservations, concentration camp, but they took the black people and put them on Indian rolls. That's why you see many black people today on Indian rolls with perpetual annuities. They didn't pay for them. They had the Indians pay for them. Now, the Chickasaw Nation wouldn't allow that, by the way. There were many black people called freedmen on the Indian rolls, and I could hold up an Indian roll and show it to you. But I don't have it with me. The history of America. The history of Lincoln that had been made into a martyr, but changed America into a free society, into a totalitarian, eternal union with no states' rights. And now we're facing it all over again, aren't we? History repeats itself if you don't know history. What are we going to do? Well, be aware, for one thing. Understand what's going on. And with your votes and with your monies, all you can possibly do, support freedom in America. Support the First and Second Amendments. The Tenth Amendment was dissolved, basically. That's the rest of the story. What you do with it is yours. But that is the truth. You'll go check it all out. It's all there. I could have quoted people and names, but this message would be, let's see, how long is it anyway? 1 hour and 24 minutes. It's a long message. I tried to keep it under 2 hours. but I covered a tremendous amount of history. I could not quote every source or everything, but that's it. The real Lincoln, the myth, whatever you can see it. People began to write about Lincoln and the true Lincoln, and the books were squelched completely. You couldn't print a book if it told the truth about Lincoln. It couldn't be in print in early America. They did not want people to know what happened. Europe knew what happened. You ask the president of Russia, and he knows what happened here in America in the Civil War.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. He'll tell you what happened here. He'll tell you how the genocide against the American Indians. I'm American Indian. See, I'm one of those former slaves, so to speak. The blacks were never treated as bad as American Indians, and not as bad as the Chinese in many places. In America, in the 1850s, if you were black, you could own property. If you're American Indian or a Mexican, you could not own property at all in California. Like I said, Indians were used as slaves until Franklin Roosevelt and the Social Security Act. They had to name these people. I hope that you've learned something. I hope you don't hate me forever now because I did this message. This message I've been studying on for the last month, probably 8 hours a day, haven't I? Something like that?
On more books.
Yeah. Reading every book that I had on Lincoln, every historical thing, looking on the internet, looking everywhere. And tried to keep it less than 2 hours. That was a task. Our Father, I send this lesson out, this lecture. And Father, help us not make the same mistakes we made before, I pray. Forgive me where I failed you. In Jesus' name.